To those of you who don't know, you should know, it is I, Classical Brian Leo, and you are listening to the SGP Podcast featuring Stan C, Mr. Rafael Camus, and Mr. Romeo Moran. And by the way, please support PWR and fuck Mr. C. And Mayhem. And Bombay stinks.
You are listening to the longest running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Smart Venus Filipinas podcast. Stan C at your service. Raf Camus to my right, right across me, Ro Moran. We're coming off a huge week in Philippine wrestling. And you know what? Let me just say this outright. If you still think that a local wrestling community doesn't exist, then there's probably something very wrong with you, because I know for a fact that a lot of people saw the photos from PWR Presents Vendetta on their news feeds. And, you know, we don't intend to mark out over a show all of us were actively participating in.
It was insane. Ro wasn't that active in the show.
Well, you know, he was part of the crew. He actually helped out. If people like Ro in the crew weren't around, the show would fall apart, my friend.
That's true. Production. Guys, the guys backstage, the production teams, everyone who supports the backbone, not the artists themselves, are fucking amazing. But they deserve more money.
It was insane, man. I don't know if you remember. Nung unang Renaissance, okay yung crowd, pero hindi siya puno, di ba? Alam mo yung stand.
Yeah, of course.
Hindi siya puno. There was like still some empty seats at the VIP section.
Yep.
And then, okay, when it came to Terminus, medyo mas napuno siya. Pero it wasn't that loud.
Right.
But people were still marking out.
People were still marking out, but it wasn't as loud as Vendetta.
My God,
it
was
fucking
raucous.
Packed.
Raucous is the word.
I think if there's one thing that we can say as, again, as three guys who were part of the show, it's that we're very grateful that the people who came out there were not only into the show, but they were fucking participative.
400 people strong.
I would assume that they... most of them were not as big as wrestling fans like we are.
Yeah.
Or the people in our group.
They won't listen to the
are.
Podcast.
Maybe now they might. Like, as you've seen, Kanina, here's a little story. Earlier today, a dude messaged us through our Facebook fan page.
Yeah, his name is John Joseph, and here's your shout out, John Joseph.
Oh yeah, here's your shout out.
And he was saying that he was a huge fan, and you know, honestly, from the bottom of our hearts and from the hearts of our bottoms, we appreciate that.
Thank you.
We really do. Every time someone comes up and says, you know, I love your segments, your spots and botches, whenever you have the PWR guys on the show, it really adds spice to my day. It gives me something to look forward to.
Binasa mo yung message niya.
Hindi naman, hindi naman.
No, this is aggregation of comments.
Yeah, these are general comments that we actually get from individuals, some of whom we actually see at the PWR show. So we got to tell you now, it really means a lot to us, and it shows that whatever effort we do into recording this podcast, in some way it does pay off.
Yo, when I pointed at you, I thought you were just I wanted you to shill the fan page, but okay. It was crazy. You know, parang I don't know,
400 people.
Yeah, I don't know if I can say the same, because I wasn't one of those, but those who they viewed that night.
Yeah.
At Vendetta.
Are so fucking lucky.
Are not just lucky, it was quite the crazy experience debuting to that many people. Parang, I don't know, I can't say for myself, but it must have been a bit rattling to come out there for the first time in front of 400 loud, not just 400 people, 400 loud people.
All right, let me be honest here. I mean, I've hosted crowds that are bigger than 400. I've hosted, if you've been to the Sky Dome in North EDSA, imagine that pack.
Sky
all right, so mga 1,500, 2,000 people. Hoy, dito man. I would love to host there. But in Sky Dome natin sa North EDSA, I've hosted an event there, and that doesn't compare to having 400 people just looking at you as your song is playing. And, you know, you're just making your way to the ring. I've got to admit, putana, I haven't been more nervous than I was last Saturday. That's counting Terminus when I actually debuted.
You know, Pops, same goes for me. Like, when I made my entrance.
Dude, yeah, you're fucking...
Why do you even have an entrance?
No, they said, Camus, report to the back. Let's do this. And I'm like, what? I'm entering? Yes, you're entering.
So what was your song?
No, but I only know in Freaks and Geeks. Yeah.
Right.
I've been using that for a few days.
Since Terminus.
Since I debuted, technically.
Right.
But the thing is, I really just came out and then just, you know, I thought, okay, well, let's just get to the ring. And then I saw people start to cheer. And I'm just like, get into it, get into it, fucker, get into it.
And I could see you from backstage,
oh
like from
God,
Gorilla.
Oh, it's so much fun. Just like, you fucked up. Okay, honestly,
you fucked
I
up.
Fucked up. I
you fucked,
fucked
up.
Up. I'll admit that. I'll admit that. Just because, like, honestly, you know how hard it is to memorize a script?
Akala ko ba may dala kang iPad, no, Samsung tablet.
Yeah, you're supposed to have a tablet there.
I didn't have my, I didn't have my tablet dinala? At the start.
Come on.
It was still charging. And I was like, I was looking at
kaya wala masyadong nag-react nung ano eh. Sinabi mong...
Chris Panzer! Bombay Suarez versus Chris Panzer. Wait a minute. Reverse that.
Dude, the card was on a poster which you could see from the ring.
I am blind.
And the guys backstage were all like, we practiced for the wrong match.
How would you know?
Because I was working the crew backstage.
Oh, yeah, backstage.
Backstage.
Come on.
No, you know, with the amount of people that are backstage, it's hard to remember a face like yours, especially when it's dark.
Whoa.
This is a guy. This is a guy you see every week. How the fuck can you say something like that? That's ludicrous. Come on. Stay classy, Carlos.
Okay. I'm sorry.
All right, so
I love you.
It was a crazy event. Again, you know, just having 400 plus people chanting along to all the crazy chants. You know, we could actually run down some of the crazy chants.
Let's go.
On Saturday.
Oh yeah, let's do this.
Like my chant personal favorite was 50 Shades.
Oh, sorry.
I loved 50 Shades.
50 Shades.
And if you weren't there, here's a little bit of context. It was the All Out War, False Count Anywhere, hardcore match between Mayhem Brannigan and the Apocalypse and the Royal Flush. The Apocalypse gets out of the ring, brings out a chain, and wraps it around Brian Leo's neck only to ram him against the ring post. Mm. And suddenly the crowd goes, 50 Shades, 50 Shades, 50
it's
Shades.
So wrong.
No, wait. You ever wonder who comes up with this, with these chants?
I think there's that one stupid guy who just goes, 50 Shades, and thinks, okay, is it working? Is it working? Let's keep doing it.
Bro, he's not stupid. The guy is a smart ass for being able to be witty enough to come
tapos,
up with this shit.
Tapos nakikisa kayo yung audience eh.
Eh, nakikisa kayo naman tayong lahat eh.
Yeah, no. But there are sometimes na you try to start a chant, but it doesn't fly.
Right, and Roman and I know this from being audience members at Renaissance. Like, I know we tried to start several chants, like Burgis from Brian Leo, which didn't really sell. Didn't really catch on.
Oh.
But in 50 Shades, that
was clever.
That was
clever. It was timely and clever.
You know what I liked then from that same match? Bagong tre. Bagong tre. So they had
to contextualize.
They had six cookie sheets.
Yeah, cookie sheets.
That they all prepared for that match. And
that weren't, okay, they weren't cheap, huh?
Dude, they were 66 peso cookie sheets from fucking Daiso. That's cheap as shit. Yung tipong pag hinampas mo sa katawan mo after three strikes, it's got dents all over it now.
And Brian Leo hit himself over the head with one of them.
Right, and those cookie sheets were fucking abused.
God. For those of you who didn't see, Brian Leo actually sustained some several
No,
head
not
injuries.
Several. This is a small head injury.
Well, it looked more like more than one.
Okay.
From the hits that he took, from the sword fight, from the Singapore cane fight, and the trace of the head.
No, but yeah, going back to the trace line really quickly. The reason why Bagong Tre was funny was because pag nakikita na ng crowd that the trays were already dented as fuck, they would chant Bagong Tre, and then once the new tray comes out, they would pop for that shit.
And nobody used the tires though.
Yeah, I'm upset because like our friend the T10 brothers.
Yeah, Ralph, to be precise.
Ralph, to be precise. Well, shout out to you guys for
sorry, Ralph.
We're sorry, Ralph.
But thanks, Bridgestone.
Bridgestone was a good sponsor, and they added an element of grunginess to the match.
I think another good chant was Ghost for our boy Jake De Leon.
For those of you who don't know, Jake De Leon never went to USD.
He's actually from
Ateneo.
Yeah.
And LaSalle. And LaSalle in high school.
Yeah. So
our boy, you could have gone with Go Ateneo or...
No, hindi kasi siya naka-blue.
He was wearing yellow and black.
Know,
or black
I
and
know.
Yellow, black and yellow, black
See,
and yellow.
See, that would have been more fun.
What?
Go Ateneo. Okay, the thing is...
It's funny.
It's funny, it's ironic, and it's sad, but...
Pika P was fun too.
I loved that. But
for JDL as well.
But my favorite from the entire show was Sue. The stupidest, most mundane thing that you could say, Sue, which is really just a natural reaction to a punch that people throw, mm-hmm. that some of our wrestlers were throwing.
Yeah, yeah.
Referring, Sue, they turned it into a chant. Where the fuck did you guys come up with that?
I don't know, man. I mean,
I honestly don't. The good part, it got over.
Yeah, the good part is people were having a good time.
People were having a good time.
The worst you could have seen was, well, not just booing, but actually not reacting.
Yeah,
the mere fact that people were trying to make some noise
for things that weren't, you know.
Yeah, that was a huge. It means that they were really into it.
And we hope that they come out for Revolution X.
Sana.
Because if we have a crowd like this at Revolution X with, what, 1,000 strong?
Well, we have to move venues in that case.
But that would be the dream. I guess it would also help if we went viral. We kind of did, or we tried.
In a way, we flooded a lot of people's feeds.
Yeah, if you use the hashtag PWR, PWR Vendetta, or Pinoy Wrestling even, there are actually videos of that spot where Mayhem Brannigan jumped off the second floor.
That was the holy shit moment of the
holy
night.
Holy shit and moment of the night.
I think of the year. For
so
us.
Far.
You know, we got to give a shout out to our boy Red Oliero, who was the ultimate fall guy. So Red was actually prepared to be there. He was a bouncer, and he was like, whatever happens, if someone falls off the second floor, puta na pare, sasalin ko yan. So he's right there within the periphery of where Mayhem Brannigan was going
to
fall.
Trying to shoo him off it.
Yeah, trying to shoo him off it. Mayhem Brannigan jumps off. He doesn't hit Red.
He punched Lucas Hunter first.
Yeah, he punched Lucas Hunter first, and then he jumped off.
God.
And then Red Oliero was nowhere near where Mayhem landed, but Red tumbled anyway.
Why did you have to expose him like that?
No, I didn't have to expose him, but you could see him in some videos. Like, my favorite video of the Mayhem jump features Red explicitly just tumbling, which is pretty funny.
But how you put in definition of bouncer?
Hey, yo. What's up, Red? So we had all of that and more that took place at Vendetta. But, of course, we're going to be coming up with some videos, actually. And I've been working with some people, very generous people, who've lent their resources to come up with some footage for Vendetta. So you better stay tuned to find out how you can see this this footage. Because in the meantime, PWR is also releasing video footage of Terminus.
Yep. We haven't finished. Have we finished all of the matches?
I think one by one. I'm still not sure. Let me check the files right after recording.
Okay, but that's the thing. Everyone finally gets what they want. They want videos of what PWR is doing online. There you go.
You know.
We're giving it to you.
Not just that. People are taking videos. People in the crowd are taking their own videos.
It's the same shit from different angles.
Yeah. So if you want your shit crowdsourced, you know.
If you want to look for videos.
If you want to look for videos, they're probably up.
Type a hashtag.
Check the hashtags. Hashtag PWR. And that's the thing. And
all of that is really good for the company.
I mean, good God. It's fun. It's nice. The show was amazing. But let's talk about the show itself. The actual wrestling.
Okay.
Yeah, the actual wrestling. We had 5 matches on the card. If you weren't at Vendetta, the matches were as follows: you had 2 championship tournament matches,
between
Bombay Suarez and Ken Warren,
not Chris Panzer,
right? And Chris Panzer took on JDL.
Yes.
And then you also had a match between John Sebastian and Ralph Imabayashi. You had the debut of Dual Shock against Canto Terror and Mark Di Manalo, which Canto Terror and Mark Di Manalo won, which prompted Sandata, that fucker, to request for a second match, in which they were absolutely squashed by the Fighters for Hire in their debut.
Well, I have this to say about Sandata. He gave me a cheap shot to the side of my head.
Yeah, about that.
Oh, speaking of, yeah.
About that.
May bagong PR.
Right. You know, here's the thing, Mr. Kamas, and this is something I'm going to have to call you out on the podcast.
What?
In what universe?
Wait. Before we go into that.
Sure.
I have heard through the grapevine that Sandata is being fined for laying a hand on Kamas right here.
I can actually confirm that rumor because I've signed the memo. I've signed the memo fining Sandata.
Makana ba?
Well, it's not 250,000 pesos,
oh,
that's
naman.
For sure.
Dito naman. Daniel Orton yan.
Yeah. 25,000 lang naman. for laying your hands on an employee,
non-fighting employee. If you're getting 25,000 from Sandata, we better move from the PWR arena in Makati Square.
See, that 25,000 is for our operation costs, my friend.
So wait, what's happening to me, Mr. GM?
All right, see, here's the thing. The reason why Sandata laid his hands on you in the first place.
And Brian Leo, among other
heels from PWR is, let me ask you this, my friend. In what universe does a ring announcer fucking fight back?
Oh, bro.
You've seen Lillian Garcia, Tony Chimmel, Justin Roberts, even, all of them being bullied time and time again.
They fired Daniel Bryan for choking out Justin Roberts, but Justin Roberts never fought back.
Yeah, he never pushed Daniel Bryan. He never pushed the Nexus.
Di man lang siya sumagot eh. Di man siya pumalag eh. Ikaw pumalag eh.
Not just once. Not just twice. You've done this multiple times ever since fucking Terminator.
Yeah. And all those guys can take you on. I know you're in training, but they're not anymore.
The honest answer to that is, you know, I really think that it was natural instinct that
it
hit
was.
Me. And it's just it comes out. It comes out and it's just like you think, okay, wait, I'm supposed to be protecting myself, but then wait, I'm the announcer. I'm supposed to be neutral. I'm not supposed to be doing anything. I'm supposed to take the shit. But then you see this guy in Brian Leo who gives you shit week after week after week in training, and then he just steals the mic. And I'm just trying to do my job, Mr. GM. Not Mr. Radio Partner right now, Mr. GM.
You know what the problem is? The problem is you don't want to give in to this thing called justice, right? As the authority figure, I can see this shit that's going down. I'm watching 24/7. And I can fucking issue memos left and right where I wanted to.
And fines.
Yeah, memos and fines. And because of your actions, now you're... Now, of course, Sandata will be fined. Sure, he laid the hand on you. But you fucking provoked the motherfucker.
Okay.
And now he'll be coming for all of us, nigga.
Wait.
Well, maybe
wait,
not
wait,
you.
Wait, guys. Shooting here. Let's strip the kayfabe for just a moment here. The reason why this is a problem, and I'm speaking as... An analyst.
Yes.
The reason why this is a problem is that ideally the ring announcer is not on the same operational level as the wrestler.
That's
but
true.
But unfortunately, in my case...
In your case, yes, you're training. But okay, shooting again, your character is not an in-ring worker yet.
Your character is not supposed to put yourself over.
The objective was not to put myself over. It came out naturally.
But that's what happened.
I apologize that if it comes across that way, and we're shooting right now.
Yeah, we are shooting right now.
Yes, we are. But yeah, that's the thing. You're not supposed to put yourself over because it's not in your place. As The Rock would say, shut your mouth and know your damn role.
And I remember that now. So yeah. Thank you. Back to kayfabe. Thank you, Mr. GM.
Back to kayfabe.
You can't just turn it on like right then and there. Come on now.
Turn on the kayfabe switch.
Turn on the kayfabe switch.
Jesus.
But in all honesty, if Sandata's getting fined, I'm fine. I have no beef. I have no beef. If that money goes to production costs so that people can hear me talk better, I'm okay.
That's true.
And you especially. I mean,
right.
We do need the money for production costs.
That's right.
Point.
We do need some better mics. Yeah, we do acknowledge actually the feedback from some people.
A better sound system, yeah.
A better sound system. I guess the reason why we also need a better sound system is because you could see how loud that crowd was.
Oh. Yes.
So at some point, for whoever it was, whether it was Sandata, Brian Leo, Camus over here, or me, or even Mayhem Brannigan, thought it was just so hard to talk out there with everybody being so fucking loud.
And the quality of the mics being so fucking low.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
What about your mic, but your speaker?
No, the
speakers were bad.
Oh, yeah, the speakers were bad.
The speakers are so bad that any compensation for my personal high-quality wired mic,
right,
which Sandata took from me...
because the wireless mic
because the wireless
work.
Weren't work, played no effect, sadly.
Well, yeah, as everybody probably already knows and understands by now, PWR is a startup. So baby steps, but one step at a time, we're eventually going to get there. But it was nice to know that we did have a lot of support. I think we had friends from TV5 who were there at ringside. And judging from just watching them from the other side of the ring, they were having a good time. And so were the guys from Uno Magazine. I believe a lot of them went home happy.
Yes.
Because of the free back issues. I mean, I don't care if it's a back issue. If Roxy B's on the cover, you're gonna get that copy. I have my own copy. She signed my copy, bro.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She
was there?
She was here. At Mello before. So, yeah, I got to interview her. So, dude, have you seen Roxy B in person? Like, without makeup?
No, I would like to, though.
Dude, okay. Let me tell you this quick story. A bit off tangent. So, I was waiting for...
Am I gonna regret this?
No, man. I was at Titan in Katipunan in Regis, right?
Oh. Okay.
So I was there waiting for my jersey, for them to put the number on my jersey.
Oh.
And then I was on my way up, and right past me walks Roxy B. And she was this fresh-faced girl without makeup in her sweats. I mean,
Galing goes gym.
Galing gym, papi. Alam niyo sinasabi ni Drake na sweatpants, hair tie, chilling with no makeup on. That's when she the prettiest. I hope that she don't take it wrong. Holy shit. It was the living personification of that line. I was like, God damn, you're so hot even without the makeup.
Papi.
So you should see her. You should see her in person.
Man.
Roxy B, if you're listening to the podcast.
Hey.
Hey, what's up, girl?
Hey, yo.
Are we Eddie Huang from fucking Fresh Off the Boat now?
Hey, yo.
Yo.
Yeah. So Uno magazine was there, like I said, giving away these back issues, which are probably going to be a hit with the guys. I guess it's safe to say that the audience was 90% male, obviously.
But the females who were there were notable.
Females had fun.
Oh,
maraming bagong fans si Main Max.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Even though Main Max is a bad guy,
he's a bad guy who's a fan favorite. I mean, one of the memorable moments from that All Out War match, I would say, was when he grabbed Mayhem by the neck, he put him in a headlock, and then he posed with the fans.
And Hub Pacheco has some great shots of that.
Oh hey, shout out to Hub.
Yeah, not just Hub, but a lot of our friends who were actually part of the media taking footage of PWR. So, yeah, I just can't stop talking about how awesome Saturday was.
How about we run down the card?
Run down
the card?
Yeah, okay. Just results really quickly.
Just results.
We talked about the DualShock debut. They lost to KT and Mark DiManalo.
And again to Fighters for Hire.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think the crowd was particularly impressed with the Fighters for Hire, especially after Miguel Rosales did that F5.
Good God, that F5 is a thing of beauty. I swear, like that, Brock Lesnar could not do it better.
I think he can.
I think he can, but that was beautiful. That was a thing of beauty.
All right, let me just say this. If Brock Lesnar could do that F5 to Roman Reigns with that much force, I would fucking mark out.
I slightly marked out for that one.
Yeah,
okay. People love that. Yeah,
people love that one.
So what else? Of course, we had the debut of Ralphie Mabayashi going up against John Sebastian. That RKO also went slightly viral because
maganda yun.
It went around YouTube. It went around Instagram. So I believe Ralph calls it the Sonic Crusher.
Smooth.
But you know what? Just a highlight from that match: John Sebastian's heel work, absolute gold. I don't know how much of that he planned out in his head.
Yeah,
but.
You work, plan out. That's natural, bro.
God damn it.
Yeah, he's a natural a-hole.
We've had him on the show already, and then he just runs his mouth like it's nobody's business. But this guy, he got in his head.
That's the idea, I could see it.
I could see it. He got in Ralphie's head. Just ever so slightly, and it was so good.
And that's why Ralphie...
Oh, that is more true than you realize sometimes.
Yeah, that's why Ralphie actually had to run in during the All Out War after John Sebastian also helped out the Royal Flush. I think John Sebastian, if you were at Vendetta, officially joined the Royal Flush during that All Out War match.
So is he the queen?
No, dude, Scarlett is the queen. Come on, man.
Okay, so Scarlett's the queen...
Brian Leo is the king.
Brian Leo's the king.
John Sebastian is the jackass.
He's a jack.
Oh, he's the jackass.
Yeah.
So who's the ace?
Hey!
Right. Max.
We have another match, of course. The Bombay match.
Max is the perfect 10.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, he's the perfect 10. That's what he's called. So you also had that Bombay Suarez and Ken Warren match, which a lot of people did love.
I did have a lot of fun.
Yeah, they kind of worked stiff, but at the same time, you knew that it was a crazy-ass match from the get-go.
Yeah, but the highlight was the post-match shenanigans.
Right.
I did appreciate that chair shot dropkick.
Maganda yun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Bombay was happy to get a stink face from Scarlett,
I think anyone would.
Thinking he would get one again would cost him, the next...
His teeth.
Yeah.
His teeth.
Pretty much.
Which are still intact, by the way.
And, of course, you had, again, those two contendership matches. The second one, rather, being JDL versus Panzer, which my girlfriend, by the way, called it the match of the night.
If I had a say in it, that was my match of the night, too.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone on record with saying that Jake De Leon is quite possibly the best wrestler in PWR.
He is. After
this, he has cemented himself as the best wrestler.
It took
PWR.
You this long to find.
No. Cement. I said. Okay. I've called it to him.
Cemento niya.
Sinisemento ko na.
I think the thing about JDL is he's so athletic and he's so charismatic that whoever goes up against him immediately receives heel heat. whether or not they intend to, they get heel heat. I mean, Chris Panzer, when I first saw him at Renaissance, when I first saw him at Renaissance, I was thinking to myself that Chris Panzer is top face material.
Mm.
And fast forward to Vendetta, he is still top face material, but you put him right next to JDL in a match, the guy got heel heat.
The guy got heel heat that was unwarranted.
Yeah, probably just because he was half American, or probably because he was just JDL's opponent.
Oh, yeah, he was. No, it was most likely because he was JDL's opponent.
Well, but it's hard. It's hard to beat JDL's opponent.
It's just that people love JDL more, it seems.
And he has a way of just connecting with the crowd.
Over in.
Yeah, that's how you know that you're fucking over, you know. I guess going back to, switching gears a little bit to being over, you could tell that the PWR superstars individually have their respective fan bases. Because, like, from the moment the music hits, some of the Canto fans
terror.
In the crowd know kusino na yung lalabas.
Canto Terror to begin with.
Right. And now we know that when you hear Take On Me, Mark fucking Di Manalo comes out.
Mark MFMD.
Yeah.
Alam mo si Canto Terror, may mga iha na yun eh.
Mga
iha na yun sa audience.
MFDM. I want to put that on a shirt.
And Ralph Imabayashi also has new fans now following his match. I would be surprised.
I'm not surprised. I mean, Ralph Imabayashi, potential face number two of PWR eventually.
Puede.
Hey, you know what? Everybody's in the running
but
right
if,
now.
But if John Sebastian has no fans, I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't be
for
surprised.
Sure. Like, if we're talking about the number two face, bro. I would say that is an open race right now. You know, JDL's number one face, number two is a wide open race at this point.
Mm. I think it's still Mayhem, for sure.
But Mayhem treads the waters, eh?
Okay,
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
He's not PG.
He's not PG,
man.
If a guy jumps from the second floor.
That is awesome, though.
It was awesome, but bro.
It was awesome, but the reckless disregard.
Disregard.
For his well-being and the well-being of Fred Oliero.
Among other people.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, take note. There was a kid there in the show. That kid wearing the John Cena shirt.
That won the Dolph Ziggler
action figure. Yeah, that kid's what, 8, 9 years old? And for him to hear the words, fuck you, from Mayhem Brannigan directly, I would be mortified if I was his dad.
Would you find him, though?
What do you mean, would you find him?
Would you find...
Oh, yeah, of course.
If we were PG.
I think we were supposed to be.
We're supposed to be, but you know...
Ano bang gagawin mo dyan, Mr. C?
I'm going to have to review this with the board.
Yeah, this is
something that will merit some official discussion, unlike the Sandata case. You know, that's a different story altogether.
At least di naman siya nagmura.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, so I guess, are we good with Vendetta?
Yeah, I think we are.
All right, so Vendetta...
Great show. We hope to see you... Oh, wait. We hope to see you at Revolution X. But before we leave Vendetta completely, I just want to say, there are some haters, Papi. Of PWR.
And we will be addressing them.
More in depth in a future episode of the podcast. Don't worry about this. But I would like to say that they're haters because personally, they haven't seen what the show is all about. They just see pictures and videos on the internet. And they still think
it's fake.
Not that they think it's fake. It's more of they can't seem to take the guys seriously. And may konting dahilan, may konting... justification yet.
You know, to an extent, we can see where they're coming from. Because let's be honest here, Ro and I used to be critics ourselves before we joined PWR.
Yeah.
So,
and I get it that they don't look like the guys you see in the WWE on your TVs. But at the same time, any smart wrestling fan knows that you don't have to look like a bodybuilder or even jacked to be a good wrestler.
Yeah, look at Daniel Bryan.
Exactly. American Indies. Look at Sami Zayn.
Look at the Young Bucks.
Oh.
Yeah, well, the Young Bucks are getting in shape.
No, but still, they're not big.
But they're thin as fuck.
They're not big.
That's true.
Now, the point is, you can find good wrestling anywhere in the world in which the wrestlers don't look like jacked supermodels or bodybuilders. It's entirely possible. And if you see that, and acknowledge it, and still continue to deny it. Sabihin mo na lang na ayaw mo nun. Huwag mo na sabihin na that's not wrestling or that's not good pro wrestling. Sabihin mo na lang na ayaw mo nun ganun. It's easy. We can respect that opinion.
Or at the very least, watch a show. Give it a chance. Watch the product.
No. The main thing here is that people tend to confuse opinion with objective fact. What they think they don't like
becomes fact
for them. Parang they think that just because you're thin or you're fat or whatever doesn't make you a good wrestler.
Yeah, that I guess.
It's not an objective truth.
Right. Now, I guess my thing is, as both a part of the show and as someone who's shooting here, I just want to invite you to the show. Watch Revolution X, May 23. This is an open invitation from us here on the podcast. Give it a shot. Watch the show. And if you don't have a good time, then that's on you. If you have a good time, great.
But all I'm going to say is, for any doubters out there, as Roman Reigns would say, doubters, for anyone, all you have to do is watch the show. Because it's easy to get caught up when you're in there and when it's happening in front of you live.
There's a big
difference. Trust me and Stan. Trust Camus.
Yeah, because we've been there. We've been there. So, yeah, watch the show. Give it a chance. If you enjoy it, great. If you don't enjoy it, then too bad. I'm sorry, man.
Here's the thing. You will pay good money to see a show. If you hear somebody chant, "This isn't wrestling," during that show, I will personally give you your money back.
Let you go.
No, because I'm the one who's getting paid among the three of us. Stan needs to reinvest. I'm paid as talent.
All right. All right.
I will. You come up to me. You come up to me after the show if you have not had a good time.
Or take it from Phil D of ClickTheCity.com. Look through his Twitter from February 2021.
No, 22. Yeah. 21. Yeah. I mean, whatever. The weekend.
Yeah, from the weekend. Just check his Twitter. Don't take it from us. Don't take our word for it. Take his.
Look up the hashtag.
Yeah. And with that, we're going to be taking a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about Fastlane, the Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan rivalry, and where we are now as we are officially on the road to WrestleMania.
Sadly.
We're officially on the road to WrestleMania, and I think that really just became very clear right after the end of Fastlane from last Monday. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about three big things that actually happened over Fastlane, and I think these are the three big storylines that are going to be developed as we head into WrestleMania play button. So let's start off with...
Thank you very much.
So let's start off with Cena Rusev, because I think... It was a bunch of firsts that happened at Fastlane. One of them is this is Cena's first submission loss since 2004.
Which is a long time ago, man.
Yeah, because of the way that they've booked Super Cena. The second being that this is the first time that Rusev cheated in a match.
Oh, what thing, eh? Because now we actually, see him being a heel.
A real heel.
Instead of just being Russian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So those are two big developments. I think one is long overdue.
Speaking of Russian, sorry, can we jump into Raw for a quick minute here?
Yeah, jump into Raw for a quick minute.
Officially, as of this Monday's Raw, as of their confrontation after Fastlane, nandun sila sa U.S. versus Russia territory. And I was hoping, really hoping, that they would stay away from it.
But they're not.
But they're not.
And I think it was inevitable. I mean, I know that you were very optimistic about it. I, on the other hand, thought that it was a long time coming.
But there was still so much to be gotten from old versus new.
And I think old versus new, go off tangent a little bit, it's a prevailing theme right now with the WrestleMania feuds. So with the main event, you've got Lesnar versus Reigns, old versus new. Goldust versus Stardust, old versus new. Cena Rusev, old versus new. And Bray Wyatt versus Undertaker.
It's been like this since last year, so...
Yeah. I think they're just slowly going to kill off everyone that's over 30.
Which is what they should be doing anyway.
Killing everyone that's over 30?
Yes.
Daniel Bryan's over 30.
I mean, like... killing everyone who has been here for quite a while now.
Okay.
But I'm actually glad that Rusev said no to Cena's rematch request. That was a good move.
Good move.
And now, parang it's not the match isn't made in stone that Cena could find a way to get back into it. And I think that would be a bit fresher.
And you know it will happen. You know that eventually
will happen, but. At
the circumstances are different.
Oh, but these didn't medyo tamad. No, okay, I want a rematch. No, fuck you. You're not getting a rematch.
He got beat.
You know what's sad about this? And I think this is
John
something
Cena.
That,
you don't get a rematch, John Cena.
Dude, this is something I realized like right after the Royal Rumble. John Cena has only wrestled pay-per-views na lang.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because
sorry for putting him at number one.
He does yeah. work house shows.
No, I got rid of John Cena. Sorry, Jason.
You don't know it was John Cena.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys play fantasy wrestling, it's very important for
your
wrestler.
Nobody does, I'm sure. Only we do.
It's important for your wrestler to actually fucking wrestle. So John Cena is actually one of the biggest busts in this season's draft.
I've been thinking about it, actually, as to why this might be the case, as to why he's been losing since SummerSlam 2013.
I think they're just resting him up. And
no, I think he wants to rest up already.
Or like he wants to retire.
I don't know about I don't know about retiring.
Retirement is a little drastic.
Yeah. I don't know about retiring. I think Cena just wants to take a backseat now. But I think he saw, since 2013, that there are guys who could possibly replace him on top. Or either that, or they're already planning for other guys to replace him, like Reigns.
Buti pa siya, naisip niya yun.
Baka okay na sa kanyang ano. Mag-ano muna.
Because Cena's not old and out of touch.
Yeah. He knows when to step down a bit. That's maybe that's why he's okay.
So this is...
Moving from the WWE Championship to the US Championship in a month.
So, here's the thing. Based on your argument, secretly, we have good guy John in the background all the while he is scumbag Cena. Because we've been shitting on him for a long time now.
Yeah. No, Cena, the on-screen character, is
scumbag.
Terrible.
A terrible human being.
It's also possible that Cena, behind the scenes, is also a terrible human being. But didn't yun.
But, I mean, there have been reports about rumors.
No,
rumors.
It's just something I thought of. Since he's been a bit too willing to put over anyone who needs to be put over.
But the thing is, don't they deserve to be put over at this point from all the shit that the Zack Ryders of the world have taken just because they worked with John Cena?
I don't know, man. But
if I may, I think. It's just nice to look at this from the perspective that John Cena has really settled into the Shawn Michaels role. Because if you remember Shawn Michaels through the last, 5-6 years of his career, he could go into any feud, lose, and yet not lose his credibility. And I think this is where John Cena is at right now. And I've said this before, I'm just saying it again. Cena's reached that point then. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's undoubtedly a living legend right before our eyes. Now, if you put him in a feud with anybody, the only thing he could really do is raise that other guy's stock. And he can only do that credibly now by putting that guy over.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, of course. I think I hope he's smart enough to understand that. But maybe he does, since he's been putting over young guys for a couple of years now. Sana nga.
But the thing is, how much... you brought up retirement. I don't want to see John retire yet. I want to see him, do what Randy Orton just did. Take time off, come back and be impactful.
I think that's what he's doing.
No, but legitimately, like Randy Orton, come out of the spotlight entirely. But
he isn't.
He's still taking up close to 30 minutes of Raw time.
But that's not his fault, I think.
It's not entirely his fault. Admittedly, it might not be. But the thing is, 30 minutes of spotlight in a 3-hour show is still a sixth of your show. Dedicated to John.
Still not his fault. I think, it's Vince. Vince always sees him as a go-to guy.
As a good fallback, but that's the thing. Give somebody else a chance. Maybe not Roman, but
definitely getting that chance. Let's face facts.
That chance. Oh, so again, now that you mention it, let's move there.
Yeah, so we got Roman Reigns finally going over Daniel Bryan at Fastlane and receiving that stamp of approval from Daniel Bryan. Don't worry, man. I mean, I hate this as much as you do. Receiving that stamp of approval at Raw.
As you all know, this is what exactly I wanted to happen.
Yeah.
But not
you've
like
made that
this.
Clear.
Well, not like
not
this.
Not like
this. What do you mean not like this? This is exactly how I wanted it to happen. It was a good match, a good one-on-one match.
Yes, instant classic. Oh, I understand that. I will admit
classic.
That.
It's not a five-star match.
It's not a five-star match.
It's a good match from Roman Reigns, the up-and-comer, looking for a championship opportunity. That was a good match.
It felt instant classic to me.
Oh, di okay. Even better. Even better.
But not because... God, I'm just upset.
Why?
I'm just upset. All my guys are down, man. Eh? All my guys are down.
Dude, here's the thing about the
Kevin Senior guy.
Nakakamos na ako. Here's the thing. Anyway, the reason I'm bringing this up, and that's a stand verbal.
Kevin Senior is my guy. He emailed me once.
Yo, I remember this. You showed me this.
Yeah.
Oh god.
going back to Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. Okay, so Roman had one good match. But
so
that was
one good match.
How are we to be convinced entirely that he is ready?
Wait. It was one good match.
Against Daniel Bryan.
Shut up. Let me finish. It was one good match. And in the past few months, he was having decent to solid matches.
Yeah. Okay, against opponents who could put him over. But what if he has to be the one to carry that opponent?
But at this point in his career, he is not expected to do that. That's why he's going up against veterans.
And when he's
champion, that's actually quite true.
Okay,
if he becomes champion, he still faces veterans.
Like veterans who are going to come to get the championship.
Relative veterans, people who have more experience than he does. At this point, anyone he faces in that as a champion will have more experience than he does. And while he faces those people, he gets more experience of his own. That's how you learn.
But the thing is, why couldn't they have done this earlier? Before the Rumble win.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Why couldn't they have done this sort of setup before the Rumble win?
But there is no point
crying over spilled milk.
Yeah. But there is no point, going over the what ifs or the why the shoulda woulda couldas. Because it's already here. That's why they had to do this match. Because they couldn't go back and undo the Royal Rumble.
Because they were out of time.
Let's bring up the Meltzer article. Like, I think this came out, if not today, then yesterday. Dave Meltzer wrote a very long piece. Yeah, it was a very long article on the Daniel Bryan situation. And, honestly,
it was very doomsday-ish.
If you've read it, it was very negative, pessimistic. But as a Daniel Bryan diehard, I wanted to do an ugly cry.
It is ugly.
It sounds sad because it hit the wrong, the right notes.
Inside.
Tugged your heartstrings the right way. But when you
I was
stop,
booming inside.
When you stop and apply some, some logical thinking.
Or when you stop, collaborate, and listen.
Oh.
That's true.
Hey, can you open up the article by any chance?
Let me look for that.
Anyway, if you stop and really look at what he's saying, you fucker. It's not that bad. It's jumping to conclusions because this happened at Fastlane, and the gist of it, while Stan looks for the original text, is that because Bryan lost at Fastlane, everyone is giving up on the idea that he is going to be a main event
number one guy, a top
main event guy who will hold the WWE Championship for a significant amount of time.
That's what we said about Punk.
Mm.
That's what we said about Punk the first time he won it.
Right.
That's what we said about Dolph Ziggler the first time he won it. The thing is, if you've read the Meltzer article.
No, wait. I think he's got it.
Bring it up.
One eternity later.
Here we go. I found the important part. It's near the end of the article, and quote, "But the biggest story on Fastlane was the end of the Bryan story as the guy the fans willed to be the top guy and the face of the company. It was a fight for a long time. Fans thought they could win, and they clearly lost. And more importantly, based on post-Fastlane, they weren't even that mad anymore. It was just acceptance." All right, before I move on, that is a ridiculous assumption to make.
Now it's over now?
No. That was a ridiculous assumption to make. Not just because it was over, but also because he assumed that fans gave up after seeing what happened on Fastlane.
I wouldn't say that fans have given up, but I would say that we're discouraged.
Oh, yeah, you're discouraged, but I don't think you've given up. I don't think, and he says that you were not as mad, or we were not as mad.
Oh, I was pissed.
Stan was livid.
I think he was talking about the people in the crowd.
Okay.
And if you consider the people in the crowd, they just saw a good match.
They just saw a good match, but the thing is,
that's why they were not as mad, because it was okay. It was not a tragedy. It was not a travesty, unlike the Rumble,
which was a travesty.
It also helped that that Fastlane was in Memphis, which is noticeably more docile than Philadelphia.
Yumpa.
it helps. But here's my take on this is that we are resigned to the fact that D-Bry will not be in the main event this WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah. Or
for
next
sure.
year. Or next year.
Or next year, maybe. But the thing is, we know that he will be taking a backseat for a long time now. They have set him back slightly, but not forever. That's the thing. It just hurts to know that he takes the back of the line now. He's
but you know
gonna
what?
Have to go to the back.
You know what?
Of the line.
I'm sorry. I'm a huge Brian Mark. But as I said when we were discussing Rumble Palang, that it's okay if that for me it's okay that Brian doesn't win the Rumble because as I said, he already had his huge moment last year.
Yes. But does that make up for the fact that we believed?
Oh yeah, of course not.
No, it doesn't. And it's not
I'm just saying it's not that bad.
No.
It's
not
never
that
bad.
It's never that bad in the grand scheme of things looking back.
Exactly.
But looking forward, immediate future, 1 month, 3 months, 5 months down the line, this one loss changes that direction.
All I'm going to say is, I know we've ragged on Reigns the moment they split the Shield up and he turned face.
Yeah.
I know we've done that. I know I've been one of his hugest critics.
You both are huge critics. I mean,
we all are.
I hate the guy, but I respect the fact that, you know, they're going with somebody who's trying.
Thank you for bringing that up. Now at Fastlane, after Fastlane, I think that it's not the Reigns situation or the Reigns option isn't as dire as we once thought it was.
Like it's not as offensive as it was at the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, he's improved significantly since the Rumble.
You know, I think the biggest issue that I have until now about Roman Reigns, and I hate to sound like a broken record, but one of the biggest issues I have against him is he's not a supernatural freak that Brock Lesnar was. If you remember, Brock hasn't really held any title other than the big one.
Oh.
Right? He's a four-time world champion, and that's it. Mm-hmm. But he's won King of the Ring. He's won the Royal Rumble match. All right? You compare that guy to someone like Roman Reigns, who's actually taking more of the Batista route.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, see, Batista, he was only just a tag team champion, and then he won the Rumble, and then he became...
Intercontinental champion.
No, he didn't win the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah.
He's never been the IC champion. Yeah. So he's never held that championship, and then he got pushed to the moon by WrestleMania 21.
That was okay.
The reason behind that was because Batista was so over.
He was over because he had motivation.
And he had a good story.
He had a good story with Triple H.
And I think Inkay Roman Reigns... There's nothing compelling with regard to his story writing, at least until Brian came along.
But that's not Roman Reigns' fault.
While it may not be Roman Reigns' fault, I think the other part of that is Roman hasn't done enough to make us give a shit about him. Like, Christian doesn't have a story right now. He never had a story. He hasn't had a story since he had the IC Championship in, like, 2013, 2014. But I still care about Christian. If he were to come out of retirement right now, I would mark the fuck out.
Like, say, when Christian is a legend.
Christian is second ballot Hall of Famer.
Diana, we're calling Christian a legend now. Holy shit.
But he is.
No. This is to make the point that we are getting older as well.
Okay.
We are not young men anymore.
What do you think I say? I think Roman has it. I think he does. That's why we were marking out for this guy when he was in the Shield.
But we also understood that he was very limited.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay. But that doesn't mean that he didn't have it. The only reason, so I think the only thing that's holding him back now is, the terrible writing he's been forced with. I think we're forgetting the fact that he was really over when he was in the Shield.
You know, if there's anything I'm just looking forward to right now, come WrestleMania 31, if it's a foregone conclusion that at the end of Play Button, Roman Reigns will be the champion.
Oh.
I want Rollins to cash in.
Oh,
not the next night.
Right there.
I think that is happening, but that's a story for another day.
That's a story. That's speculative, and we will table that for now.
So bottom line is that we keep forgetting in the mediocrity we're seeing now, we keep forgetting that there was once a Roman Reigns that we loved. It was possible.
As part of a group.
Maybe that's why we are so disappointed. Because
high hopes.
We saw that before, and we're not getting that now.
You were the chosen one!
Nee!
Yeah, I'm just thinking of that meme, right? Thank you. Thank you for keying, because now I remember the third thing we were going to talk about, Goldie versus Cody, which did take place at Fastlane.
Who's in one?
Goldust surprisingly won, which is kind of bad for my fantasy team. That's okay.
Yeah,
that
that's so okay. That's okay. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, this week, dude, I found out Goldie does his own makeup. Holy shit. Goldust does his own makeup.
I'm sure I've seen that somewhere
He's been doing it ever since.
Oh, I know I've seen that somewhere before.
It blows my mind. There's a backstage segment showing him paint his face.
I still like where the storyline is going. I like how, you know, how deep the Stardust character has gotten, such that he's straddling a meta line and
he is meta. It is incredibly meta.
Wait. Ganito yung, this is pretty much how the story is going. It's like when you were wrestling your siblings when you were young. At first, you were playing because it's fun. But somewhere along the way,
Somebody crosses the line
inadvertently and starts to hurt someone accidentally. So the other person gets really mad that they got hurt.
Yeah.
And now shit gets real.
Yeah, this is basically it.
It turns into a shoot where both siblings are now trying to hurt each other.
And it's very compelling story writing. I guess it's we've all been there. We've all had that sibling that's gotten on our nerves or under our skin,
and you wanted to tombstone them,
right? Or you know, hit them with an RKO or a stunner, you know, just to shut them up. But this, I think, this goes more than that, because see, Stardust, he frames it throughout the career arc of Cody Rhodes.
Mm.
He starts with how, you know, Cody Rhodes has been repackaged over and over again, only to live in the shadow of
Goldust,
if not his brother Goldust. Of Dusty Rhodes.
I think the beauty of that, of this arc, is that that particular
reality
angle that Cody thought, or Stardust thought, that he was being held down by one factor or another, is that we never saw that coming. But when he said it, it was really like,
it was a
we never knew you felt moment. Yeah, we never knew you felt that way.
Oh,
kaya pala siya tumatatak.
Right, and when you look at the, that career arc of Cody Rhodes, how he's had so many repackages from
the
Cody
Legacy.
Rhodes. No, not that. Hardcore Holly's tag team partner.
Yes, Hardcore Holly's tag team.
So you start at that. Number two is Legacy.
Legacy.
Number three is Dashing Cody Rhodes.
Mustache
no,
Cody
no,
Rhodes.
No.
Dashing Cody Rhodes muna. Okay. And then disfigured Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the psycho one with the mask.
Psycho one with the mask.
And then the mustachioed Cody Rhodes.
Yes, that's five.
And then he becomes Cody Rhodes ulit. When he teams with the Brotherhood, with Goldust, and then Stardust. So that's seven gimmicks.
And then now, Crazy Stardust, Cody, not Cody.
Yeah.
So that's eight.
Right.
That's eight characters in a 10-year career.
And then hindi naman, he debuted in 07. So 8 years.
8-year career.
So parang one gimmick every year, parang ganun.
And God.
And it's amazing how Cody Rhodes has pretty much ridden with every gimmick he's been saddled with.
Mm.
That it begs this question, and I'm going to credit the masked man from Grantland with this question. Ultimately, what is Cody Rhodes' ceiling? Is it Papa Dusty or is it Dustin?
I honestly think he should have gotten a world title shot at this point.
I think Dusty is his ceiling at this point. He's proving that he's got the chops.
He's versatile enough. And the thing is, I really believe that he's deserved the championship at this point in his career.
I think,
like, he's in line at some point soon.
I think Stardust is more compelling story-wise, or Cody is more compelling story-wise than Goldust ever will be. Goldust is really more
over.
No, Goldust is really more shock. It was
value.
More shock TV.
Shock TV, comedy character,
yeah, exactly.
Comic relief, diba?
Crash booking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's actually a throwback now that we think about it. But like, I mean, no offense to Goldust, who's actually going through the best run of his entire career, if I could say so myself.
Without a championship.
Yeah, he's in the best shape of his career.
I think I can believe that Stardust or Goldust and Dusty Rhodes are living in Stardust's shadow, because Stardust is both Goldust and Dusty's potential combined.
Take a look at this. Cody Rhodes debuted in 2007. He's been through seven gimmicks in the span of 8 years. The guy hasn't even turned 30 yet. He turns 30 in June.
At least he's married.
Hey.
Yeah, so he is married to Brandy or Eden, whatever you want to call her. He hasn't turned 30 yet, and he's done so much in his career. Could we say that Cody Rhodes is actually underrated?
Yes.
Oh, yes. He's very underrated.
He's Tyson Kidd last year, underrated.
Ang ayaw ko mangyari kay Cody Rhodes is he becomes like Ben Wallace when he moved to Chicago.
Okay.
Like when he becomes so underrated, now he's overrated. Remember that Ben Wallace? No, sorry, yeah. Cleveland Ben Wallace. 2006. So I don't want that to happen to Cody Rhodes.
But that's the thing.
No, I think I don't think at
this point in his career.
I don't think it's gonna happen. I think he's good enough.
No, but at this point in his career, I will say it again, he has earned a championship spot at least once, at least a short run. Not with the current crop, but maybe, I don't know, in some psychotic universe.
No, when the Stardust gimmick evolves into something more sinister, that's when he would earn a world championship shot.
And as the run. Heel. Ang maganda kay Cody Rhodes sa lagay na to, he isn't the traditional archetype of a body that Vince McMahon likes. But at the same time, he doesn't have that indie background that many IWC members feel holds a lot of our favorites back. Diba? The reason
He's a company man.
He's a company man.
He's a WWE-made guy.
Exactly. But he doesn't have the size of a Roman Reigns, of a John Cena, of a Hulk Hogan. So it'll be interesting to see moving forward just how Cody Rhodes develops.
I think
that's where I'm coming from.
I think Cody is so good that he could be more of his generation's Undertaker than Bray.
Holy shit.
It's possible. He is that good.
He is that good, but will they allow him to be that good?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
But he
goes all in just as much as Bray does. Even more.
He goes all in the way Taker used to.
Mm, yeah, exactly. That's why I said. No, that's why.
Correct.
That's why
he's a wild card. Here's one last wild card question, just to throw you off a little bit. So let's say that Cody Rhodes is the most underrated player right now. Let's just say that.
Oh.
Let's also say that Cody's got the potential to be the next Undertaker over Bray Wyatt.
Mm.
You think the reason why that's not going to happen is because Vince McMahon still wants to stick it to Dusty Rhodes?
I don't know.
I know.
Remember the Virgil character?
That's downright sick.
Remember the Virgil character?
I remember Virgil.
Remember the vendetta that Vince has against Dusty.
God.
I dare say that Cody Rhodes might ultimately be held back just because he is a runner.
Hopefully not. But I don't think that's the case. It's way too far-fetched.
That's way too petty at this point. For all the good that Dusty's done in NXT for Vince. Well, scratch that. For Trips. His son-in-law.
Yeah.
Good God. I doubt. No, that's out of this world.
It's not tonight. But
that's too left field.
Cody has nothing to do with their beef.
Hey.
And whatever beef there was, it was cooked.
Hey, stranger things have happened. And stranger things have happened backstage. Now,
if they can get, you know, if Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man
and San Martino
can get into the Hall of Fame, this is possible.
Okay. One last note on this. I, as a fan, have been clamoring for Cody versus Goldie at WrestleMania since 2012. We're finally getting it, thank God.
Is it official?
Well,
it should be.
It should be. At this point,
it pretty much
finally
is.
Getting it.
But it needs to pick up. There's 4 weeks left. It needs to pick up big time.
They need to amp it up,
because the Fastlane match was
disappointing.
Bump, a speed bump.
Yeah.
Due to one reason or another.
Fastlane speed bump.
Oh, exactly.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, that's what happens when you're living life in the fast lane. All right,
And you can't slow down.
Yes, moving at the speed of light and you can't slow down. Now, we've come to the point where we are about to end the podcast. Of course, we have to do this by giving you the most must-see match / promo / segment / interview / article.
Wait. Sorry. Before we close the podcast, can we just talk about one more thing from Raw?
Sure.
Yes.
Orton.
Randy! And the slow burn.
Like, what the? I mean, the slow burn is fine.
The slow burn is
fine.
That is
fine,
yes.
But you, Stan, have seen this, observed this.
Yeah.
Good guy Orton again.
Yeah, that was kind of sad. I mean, I miss the meth-fueled rants of Randy
Bobby.
Orton. The meth-fueled rants.
That was fun last year.
That's peak Orton in the 2010s.
Oh, peak Orton. And then they brought him back and then he lost it. What the hell?
God, I think he took too much time off.
Yun na nga eh.
Too much time off, man.
So whose fault is it? Is it him or is it Vince?
I think it's creative's fault.
Yeah.
I think pag ganyan pag nagsisisihan tayo, it's always creative's fault first.
They dropped the ball. That was really good. And he's supposed to be back with that intensity.
With the vindictiveness.
Yeah,
but instead he's pandering.
He returned a step below. Now he's pandering and he's parang play angry.
You remember how boring 2012 Orton is? This is where he's going back.
Yeah.
Please, no.
2012 Orton.
Somebody
boring
give
as
him
fuck.
Meth.
2013 Orton was great.
Somebody give him meth, please. It was fun. Hey, admit it. We marked out when he did the.
Oh, yeah, it was really great.
All right, before we get to pick of the week, thanks for stopping me, by the way. Let's spend 30 seconds on the Divas.
Okay.
What the fuck? Paige and Emma had to wade through that fucking Sting video package.
And nobody needed to see that Sting package. You see, everyone knows who Sting is. And if they didn't, they could have gone to YouTube ever since Sting came back at Survivor Series and looked them up.
Dude, that 30-second match was a 30-second TVC for Total Fucking Divas.
Oh, oh.
Which, by the way, is coming to E! Philippines March 4, Wednesday.
What a segue.
Yeah, thank you.
Smooth motherfucker.
And that's 30 seconds on the Divas.
And wait. Since we're talking about the Divas, hashtag give Divas a chance.
Oh, hashtag give Divas a chance.
That Vince has actually acknowledged.
Yeah, but you know that he told Stephanie to reply the way that she did. It was a very Vince move.
Yeah, it was a very Vince move. It was very PC.
PC.
Yeah, but very at the PC. Same time, when you're venting out your frustrations towards your boss on fucking Twitter, you know you crossed the line. That was unprofessional of AJ to do, even though what she said may have merit.
Okay, so you're one of those guys.
So you're one of those guys? That's the way. That's your management style now?
No. That's always been my management style. I work in entertainment. I fucking work in entertainment. And you know that from my day job and from my night job, I work in entertainment. So you have to always put up good PR. And whenever one of your employees crosses the line and brings your dirty laundry out into the public where anyone and everyone can dig that up, remember, the internet is immortal. The internet can always dig up anything and everything from Sonny's vagina to AJ's tweets. And that's why it's very... that's why AJ tweeting like that opened a Pandora's box.
I wish AJ's tweets was something dirty.
Like something Layla Schultz would have posted?
Wait. What was I going to say?
We've spent 2 minutes on Divas. Yay, Divas!
You do remember who she's married to.
Yes, yep. I do remember who she's married to. I wouldn't be surprised in the least if that was a premeditated act by both husband and wife.
Puede.
A conjugal act.
Conjugal.
Yes, a conjugal act, Mr. Gums.
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised, given that the husband is very known to be so outspoken.
Can we just call him what it is?
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Phil CM Punk Brooks.
Yeah. So there, of course, if you have any input on the matter, agree, disagree, whatever, you can always hit us up on our page, just like what John Joseph
page!
Did.
We're back to page.
Yeah, we're back to page.
Much better
Thank
than page UAG.
It's facebook.com/TheSGPPodcast. And you can also hit us up on Twitter. It's at TheSGPPodcast. Individually, it's at Stan947.
At Caveman Camus.
At Rose War.
And now, finally, it's time for our pick of the week. You know what this is, so I'll start off. And I'm going to call on, I'll call the rematch of the tag team championship between K-Swiss and the Usos.
The rematch.
Yeah, the rematch.
The rematch is better than the first match.
Just
no, it wasn't better than the first match, but
it was more compelling.
It had developments in the storytelling because of the heel turn by Natty. Some people would argue that it wasn't necessarily a heel turn, but more of she actually took a side. Now she actually started...
I think that counts as a heel turn.
Fine, it counts as a heel turn. So she officially turned heel and full-on feud na sila ni Naomi.
And the Usos
by association. So now you've got like
3-way intergender match at WrestleMania waiting to happen.
Putang ina, not again. Ano to? Like John Morrison and Snooki all over again.
Please no.
I wouldn't want that. Moving forward, it wouldn't surprise me if it was actually a fatal 4-way for the tag championships. If for some reason
fatal 4-way tag again?
Yeah, if for some reason the Ascension or like I don't know.
The Ascension get called up to WrestleMania for a title match.
Yeah.
Their first time. I don't mind.
And you have the PTP in there as a fourth tag team. I would say Miz and Miz now, but I think they're going to be in the Battle Royal. So.
And then they're going to finish their feud there.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, that's cool.
All right, so that's my pick of the week, the rematch of the tag team championship match.
My pick of the week comes from PWR Vendetta. And it is Jake De Leon, my amigo, versus Chris Banzer. Technical,
great match.
Great technical match. Great technical wrestling from two of the best in the Philippines right now. And these guys, I look up to them. I look up to them. And it slightly sounds pandering, but if ever I was to have a match, if I ever get there, and you never know, I'd like it to be against one of these guys because they put on a great show to close the night.
I'm a pull a Nick Jonas on you. Be careful what you wish for.
And that's four.
I thought you were going to say, so let me teach you.
Well, I do learn a lot from Rowan Bootcamp, but...
Why? I'm not the teacher.
No, you're not the teacher, but I learned from you, my brother.
He's not a competitor either.
The fuck?
Anyway,
are you talking about?
Anyway, Ro, your pick of the week.
My pick of the week. All right. This is going to be somewhat controversial. Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns.
It's not controversial.
Yeah, I can't blame you.
It wasn't. All the right, match
thank
itself
God. Thank
was,
God it's not
but the
controversial.
Choice isn't.
Yeah, you wanted it. Ginusto mo yan.
Not just that, but it was good, really good for what it is.
For what it's worth on the surface, yes, it is.
Mm. Parang, it's a thing of beauty watching Bryan carry Roman Reigns
and
to a really great match. Clutch. That's what he does best. Eh.
And that's the thing.
And I think having that role is
it's not a bad thing.
It's not something to complain about. Especially after you got a big big moment last year.
But the thing is, we still want to see him as our champion.
Oh, I'm kind of I don't know. I think I'm kind of over that a bit. Just a bit. A tiny bit.
Okay.
Maybe for the same reason why I am over Derrick Rose as the Bulls' answer.
What a nice bookend.
Oh, thank you.
Actually, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Nice. Thank you so much.
That's a great bookend.
I think you know, Joakim Noah might be the next big hope.
Sana.
If it's not going to be D. Rose, it's going to be Joe.
Hey, Joe is actually performing like a point guard. The guy handed out like 9 assists today or something.
Is he on your fantasy team?
No, he's not. Unfortunately.
Are you playing him this week?
No.
Okay.
Jimmy Butler's on my fantasy team.
Keeping tabs. Dude, good pick. Very good pick.
Okay, let's wrap this baby up.
All right. Of course, you know where to find us on Facebook and on Twitter. And we are looking forward to next week's episode because if you were a fan of the movie English Only, Please, we are very, very happy to announce that next week we have the writer who won Best Screenplay English Only, Please at the recently concluded Metro Manila Film Festival.
And a self-confessed Canto Terror fan. So, KT, may iha ka na.
That's right. She's Ange Pasumal, and she will be part of the SGP podcast next week. So stay tuned for that. And with that, we're going to be signing off and calling it a night. Thank you so much for tuning in once again to the SGP podcast. Thank you, by the way, to the Mellow 94.7 Studios for always having us. New mixer, great equipment. Love it.
Yo.
And we're going to be having
no more clapping.
Yeah, no more clapping. We're also going to be having some more sponsors that we're going to thank
in the near future.
So you better, stay tuned. Or stuff to give away. We'll see. We're gonna work out the kinks on that shit. In the meantime, do enjoy the rest of your week or your weekend. Stay protected. Stay safe. Don't try this at home.
Stay protected? Who the fuck are you, Robin Padilla?
I don't know. Stay safe. Don't try this. Peace out.
Peace.
This the social media sinister, the crowd proclaimed human trending topic, Twitter's favorite, the face of Facebook, the OG of IG, hashtag candid, attention bandit. And you're listening to me, Ken Warren, on the Smart Gilas Pilipinas podcast. Hashtag, the pleasure's all mine.